Okay then, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 20 again. This is my theme verse for this series of teaching. Proverbs 4, verse 20. And it says this. Do you want the Bible, bro? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now we've been, as I say, we've been looking at this theme of hearing from God. Or tuning into God, as I called the study, its title. You know, we've been studying around this verse for a few weeks now. We've seen that the Bible is the usual way that God speaks to us. That He reveals Himself through His Word. You know, so as we get into the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, you know, God prompts us, He inspires us, He ministers what we read to us and speaks to us in that way. Then, following on from that, we were looking at, not necessarily in this order, but we were looking at the practice of meditation. And, you know, how God told Joshua in his, when he was going into the promised land, that he was to meditate in the law, the word of God. And he wasn't to allow it to get out of his mouth. You know, that's what meditation is, literally to mutter. And we looked at the cow and the goat and these and the sheep and these types of animals that bring back the food and eat it, regurgitate it. They chew the cud, that's what it will be, the way we describe it. But they take it. They swallow it into one of the chambers of their stomachs because they have this multi-chambered stomach. I think something like four chambers. But then they bring it back from... then they chew it again and they take it down. I think they can do this several times. Just keep going over it and taking the nutrients from it. And that's really what meditation is. Going over, thinking about it, feeding on the Word of God. What we've read, we ponder it and we... take as much as we can from it. Then we were looking at communion and fellowship. The scripture says this, that my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. They know my voice. They follow me. They don't follow the stranger. You know, they don't follow the stranger's voice. They follow my voice. And that only comes through fellowship, through getting to know someone. You know, there are many voices. And if you go on a bus trip, perhaps into the city, into Valletta, and you can hear so many voices. And if there's a voice that you recognize, somebody you know, somebody you're familiar, and you hear their voice, you immediately pick it up. I told you that when the girls, our girls ring us or telephone us, not that they do it that often because they normally come on Skype, but if they ring on the telephone and we answer it and all they have to say is hello, and just that one word hello, I immediately recognize their voice. Why? Because I know them. And I don't have to ask, well, who is this? You know, who's speaking? I know her voice. I know Debbie's voice. I know Joe's voice. Not that Joe ever rings us. It's normally Debbie. I know Debbie's voice. And it's the same when I speak, again, not that I do it that often, when I speak to my father, I don't have to say it's Peter calling. He knows my voice. And, you know, that comes out of communion, out of fellowship. Then we were looking at the inner witness of the Spirit, you know, that the Holy Spirit, you know, witnesses with our spirit. And he prompts us. And his ministry is to take the things of Jesus, or part of his ministry, to take the things of Jesus, things of God, and make them known to us. And we have that inner witness. You know, we get those promptings, those leadings, those leanings, what are the other words we want to ascribe to it? That gut feeling, that sense inside that, you know, this is right. And if you hear something that's not right, you hear a stranger's voice, or you hear some strange doctrine, and we're going to touch a little bit on this later on this evening, you know, immediately the Holy Spirit will, you'll get that quickening inside and say, well, actually, this doesn't sound quite right. There's something wrong here. That instant thing. And not only with what we hear, but we might get it with people. You know, you might meet someone, and when you're talking to them, you might get that, the Holy Spirit will just give you that prompting that, you know, there's something not right about this person. And obviously to steer clear of them, or to not get involved, that's not quite right, but not unite yourself with them in whatever they are trying to do or say. And it seems a long time ago now, but one of the first things we looked at, actually, when it comes to hearing from God is distractions. We can be distracted, and that's the reason why many of us perhaps don't hear sometimes. We don't get that, because perhaps we pray, and then we're quickly distracted, and our mind is taken away from what we are wanting to do. If we're in prayer, it happens all the time, and come back into tune. Tune yourself back into the Spirit of God. And we're going to conclude tonight, God willing, by looking at a little bit more about this, on this verse. This statement that's made here, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, we looked at this a few weeks ago. This word incline means to bend your ear towards something. You know, to turn the ear. You know, when you're, if you're trying to listen to something other than maybe if you're watching the TV or something and there's a distraction going on, you know, what I tend to do is put a cup around my ear or bend my ear so I can hear what's being said, or to try and shield out the other voices. And this is what this scripture is saying. Incline your ear, you know, bend it towards me. Listen to what I have to say. And as I said, even though we may read our Bibles and we pray, there are times that we may not hear God speaking. And it's normally either that we, there's distractions, there are other noises. You know what it's like when you're, I'll say, it's not so common now with the digital radios, but when the old tuner radios where you had to turn the dial to move the needle, you know, just a fraction off and you'll hear something else. You'll hear some noise, or the receiver will jump between two stations.
I got the police.
In my younger days. And this, if we're not totally tuned in, this is why we may not hear the voice of God. You know, I was reading over the weekend, I think it was over the weekend, an article online about this, about hearing the voice of God. And the writer of the article was saying some things. And you know what it's like on these online blogs, there's opportunities for people to make comments underneath. And I was reading through some of these comments, and one reader wrote these words that he's never heard God speak, nor had any answers to his prayers for direction. He's never heard God speak. He's never had any of his prayers answered when he's asked God for direction. And really, that's what he was saying. God never speaks to me. That was his complaint in response to what the author of the article was writing. And somebody else made a comment and replied to that and asked him these questions. Not to get the answer from him, but he says, do you read the Bible on a daily basis rather than just in church? Then he asks another question. He says, do you pray every day? And then he says, assuming, this is the, on this online thing, he says, assuming that the answer is yes to both of those questions, He says, do you actually take time to stop and listen? Because we can pray every day. We can read the Word of God. We can do all the things that we need to. But if we don't actually take time to stop and listen to what God is saying, then we'll never hear.
Always rushing around.
So do you actually take time to stop and listen? But he was just giving him that advice. Do you actually take time to stop and listen? You know, and I think this is a reason why most people who say they don't hear the voice of God, or perhaps if we're not hearing the voice of God like we used to, are we actually taking the time to stop and listen? We have to incline our ear to his sayings. And that means listen. Incline our ear to listen. Now come with me, let's go to another scripture, the book of Matthew. We're going to read some scriptures tonight, and there's a few I want to get through. And verse 15. Matthew 11, verse 15. Did you want to read it, Jess?
He who has ears, let him hear.
It's not easy to say. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, I don't know whether you might be interested to know that this actual phrase, he who has ears, let him hear, is repeated 17 times in the scriptures. Now, the theme of it runs all the way through. But this actual phrase is repeated 17 times in the Bible. Once in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel. 8 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 8 times in the book of Revelation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And out of those 17 times, 15 of those come direct from the lips of Jesus. It's not God speaking through a prophet or God speaking through anybody else. These are coming direct from the mouth of Jesus. 15 of them. So why did he put so much emphasis on listening and hearing? Well, we know from his own testimony recorded in John's Gospel that he only did the things that he heard from the Father, and what the Father spoke to him is the things he shared. So Jesus only did and said the things that he heard from his Father. And it's essential for us, for our living on earth, that we hear, we listen. It's how God will guide us through this life that we have. What we call our Christianity. This is how God will lead us, God will guide us. And if you remember, let's just go back a few chapters to chapter 7, Matthew 7. Remember, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and we have in verse 24 a very well known statement made by Jesus. And now we learn these right from young children going through Sunday school and the such. It says, Jesus said this, he says, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, he says, the one who hears the sayings, these sayings of mine, the man who hears what I'm saying is like a, not just hear, but actually does it as well. But we've got to hear the voice of the Lord. We've got to hear Jesus speaking to us, God speaking to us. And when we do that and we apply it to our lives, you know, Jesus, we're like this wise man that built his house on the rock. We're building our life on the rock Christ Jesus, on the Word of God. You know, we live our lives, you know, we live our lives by faith. That's what the scripture says. There's a couple of scriptures. You don't have to turn them up if you want, but if you want to write the references down. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says this. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We covered it, we touched on it a few weeks ago. It's not on the things that we see. They don't direct us. We shouldn't allow them to direct. We should be walking by what the Word of God says, by what we believe, what is revealed to us from the Word. Our lives are lives of faith. We don't live by what we see. You know, it's a common thing that people say, well, if I see it, I'll believe it. Mm. Well, that's not scripture. You know, we never, it's not if we see it, then we believe, which is what the world wants us to do. Prove it to me, then I will believe. If I can see it, then I will believe. No, the Word of God says, if we believe, then we will see. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he says this. Again, another very well-known scripture. In Galatians 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, we live by faith. He says, Paul saying, look, I'm not living my life my way. I'm not doing it by the things that living like the way I used to live. Christ is now living in me. And this life which I'm living, says, I'm living by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if we live by faith, how do we get faith? By
hearing
God.
Hearing
the Word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when we live by faith, then we live by... If faith comes by hearing the Word of God, when we live by faith, we're living our lives by...
Hearing the Word of God.
The Word of God. We're putting into practice the things we hear from the Lord. Like Jesus said, the wise man, the one who hears these sayings of mine and does them, is like the wise man that built on the rock. Open your Bibles. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I love this chapter. One of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14. Well, actually, let's go to verse 10. Let's go back to verse 10 to start with. It says this in verse 10. It says, but you have... Now, Paul here is writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young... a young minister of the gospel, a young pastor, a man in training. Paul was training him up. And he says here, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Of course, that comes with persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, he says, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So he says, what he's saying to Timothy is, look, he says, you've carefully followed my life. He says, you followed the way I live, you followed the things I've taught, you've heard me teach, you've heard me speak. I've imparted to you what the Lord has revealed to me. And in verse 14 he says, you've got to continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Continue in these things. Continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That even from childhood, he says, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then we have these tremendous verses at the end of the chapter, which go on to say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, or the woman of God, approach the Word of God. It's God speaking to us. We hear what He's saying. We turn our ear towards it. We know that it's profitable for us. It will correct us. It will lead us. It will guide us. It will show us when we're going wrong. We'll receive instruction. We'll receive our training. We'll receive all that we need, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that the Word of God equips us for living, for life in Christ Jesus. Again, we're going to keep going backwards and forwards in the Scriptures here, but come with me again now to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians, that's the one where it says, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love and sound mind.
So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says, see then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now we started off, this was one of the first messages I preached at the beginning of this year, from this very same verse. You know, that we walk circumspectly, not as fools. We're not to walk like a foolish person. What does a foolish person do? He hears what Jesus says and doesn't do them. Not as fools, but as wise. Someone who hears the voice of the Lord speaking and puts it into practice. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then we have this instruction here in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now you'll know, those of you that are... resonating and been coming for a while, we know that all this year I've been teaching on this subject of wisdom, right from last January through to the end of December here. We've been teaching around this subject of wisdom, walking in wisdom. You know, how we with wisdom will bring us into the place of rest. You know, we can hear God. It's part of wisdom, hearing God. That's why we've been in Proverbs a lot this year. You know, wisdom hears and understands what the will of the Lord is. what the will of God is. We can hear, we should hear from God. It's right that we hear. And it's vitally important that we listen. Because if we don't listen, we won't hear. If we don't hear, then faith cannot come. If faith cannot come, or faith doesn't come, then our walk with God begins to suffer. So it's vitally important that we take time to listen to the voice of God. Having ears, let's just look at some of the scriptures in Revelation. There are 8 of them. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation 2 verse 7 says this. Just the first part of the verse. It's a long verse, but just focusing on this statement. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We see the same thing in verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again in verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In verse 29. He who?
You mean in 7.
In?
7. Or 7.
No. Oh, 7.
7. Yes.
Yes.
Verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 6, the same, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 13, the same. Verse 22, the same. And then in Revelation 13, verse 9, another one. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You think the Lord's putting an emphasis on this, that we need to hear what the Spirit's saying. We need to listen to what he's saying. So who will hear what the Spirit says? Who will hear what the Spirit says?
Those who have faith.
Those who listen. You can have ears,
but not listen.
And notice Jesus, the Spirit says here, Jesus says here, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You can have ears to hear and still not hear. But you've got to hear, you've got to listen. You can have your ears and have them shut off. Have them quietened down. You know, the Spirit is speaking. And the problem why a lot of people don't hear from God, or they say they don't hear from God, is really because they're tuned into another station. They're not listening to what he says. They're not tuned. The broadcast is being broadcast. God is speaking all the time. God is prompting us. God is, the Spirit is leading us. That's his ministry to us. To lead us and to guide us into the truth. But because we're not tuned in, because we're tuned into a different station, we might be picking up the negativity of the world. We might be picking up scripture in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53. And it's God asking, the Lord asks this question in Isaiah 53 verse 1. And he asks, he says, who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? So there are obviously other things being said, other voices being proclaimed. But there's one that we must believe, one we must listen to. Who has believed our report? The Spirit is speaking. Just a couple of scriptures, and then I must think about wrapping up. I've just quoted Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah and as you see it, it's good to see it written down. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What a question for God to ask. You know, who is actually listening to what we're saying? Who's believing the things we're saying? Who's believing? And notice it says our report, the plurality of God. And then the prophet goes on to portray this the suffering Messiah, that surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, and he was wounded for our transgressions. You know that beautiful piece of scripture which talks about the cross, it talks about the death of Jesus, the sacrifice that was made. But a little earlier than that, in chapter 28, this is where I wanted to go to. In chapter 28, the Lord is speaking in verse 3. No, he's not. Got the wrong. I've got the wrong verse. That's fine. It's not verse 3. Oh no, verse 23. Isaiah 28:23. Missed the two up on my notes. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. So he says, give ear, hear my voice. It tells us how to do that. Listen. Listen and hear my speech. Listen to what I have to say. Because if we're listening, we will hear him. If we're tuned in, we will pick up the signal. We will hear. God is speaking. But we need to be a God. When we are meditating and pondering the things that we've read previously. Now do it in faith. Listen. Ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. We need to tune in and hear what he's saying. I'm going to finish with a scripture. And I love this scripture. And it saddens me that many people only quote half of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know why they only quote half of the what I want to say. It's because it's a quotation from the Old Testament. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 is where we're going to go. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It says, eye hasn't seen. If you're not looking, you won't see. If you're not hearing, or you're not listening, you won't hear. Ear hasn't heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love. Now that was under the Old Testament. That was under the Old Covenant. Not many people heard from God in the Old Covenant. Not many people saw. In Psalm 103 it talks about Moses and it says that God made known his acts to the children of men. I might have the quotation the wrong way around. But his ways to Moses. You know, God showed his ways to the prophet, to Moses. But the other people just saw the miracles that happened. They didn't hear from God. They didn't receive direct from the Lord. You know, and here it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. A lot of people quote that scripture. But it goes on in verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So, yeah, I may not have seen in the past, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Ear hasn't heard. Maybe they didn't hear, but now we have the Holy Spirit. God revealing to us through the Spirit. It hasn't entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But now, through the Spirit, God is revealing and making things known to us. You know, but we cannot hear if we don't listen. We cannot see if we're not looking. You know, we cannot receive anything from God if we're not believing him and not living by faith. Faith receives from him. But we must be, of course, we must be careful what we're hearing as well, being tuned in. We've got to be watchful in everything. We've got to be, I think Peter writes it and others write it, that we've got to be sober and vigilant. We've got to be clear-minded. We've got to be tuned in to the Spirit. We've got to keep focused on God and allow everything else, all the other noise, to be shut out, as we studied previously. Because there are other voices. Now, if we want a distraction, we want to be distracted from them. Not away from the things of God. So tune in. Don't be distracted. Hear what he's saying. Pray, read, believe. Allow God to speak to you. Just back to Proverbs chapter 4. And we will finish.
You just made me think of something funny. That on Friday night, I used to listen to Radio 1 because they used to have these brilliant pop songs. And they used to say, tune in and rip the knob off. So you would stay there, you know?
Well, that's what we need to do. So, my son, verse 20 it was, we were in. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to me. In the previous chapter, again, it's along the same lines. It says this in chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, we will hear him speak. We'll hear his direction. But we've got to allow him to speak into our lives. Now, if we shut him out, we say, no, we don't want you, Lord, then we will never hear. But if we're open to him, say, Lord, speak to me. Even every time you read the word, just ask the Lord to do it by faith, you know, trust him that he will speak. I remember I was challenged one day by my father when I was very young. And he said to me, he said, I don't know how we got onto the conversation, but he said to me, he says, Peter, he says, if you read the word of God and ask God to speak to you when you read it, or you read in your Bible, he said, he will speak. And I remember, I don't exactly how old I was, probably 14 or something like that, 13 or 14. I said, well, okay, then if the Lord's going to speak to me, I prayed, I opened my Bible, and I asked the Lord to speak to me. And do you know what happened?
He spoke to you.
Things started, he started to show me things in the Word of God. I didn't hear him speak with a voice.
Something made sense.
All of a sudden, like I've said in previous weeks, you know, the scriptures just lit up on the page. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading, I thought, wow, You know, God has never stopped speaking to me like that, even in my lowest moments. I'll just finish with a story. When in 2005, it was October 2005, when my mum went home to be with the Lord. You know, that really, obviously the death of any loved one hits hard, but I remember going home. We'd spent the day after mum died, the five children and my father, we spent the day around his house. And I went home on the Saturday, late afternoon. We'd been together since early morning discussing, talking about mom, talking about perhaps making some thoughts maybe for the funeral. And I went home completely drained, feeling heavy. And I went home, I laid down on the bed. And next to the bed I had this Bible here I've got. And this was next to my bed, and I picked it up. And I didn't know, I just said, Lord, I need something from you. And I need you to minister to me, to speak to me. And I don't do this as a rule. I just opened the Bible, just anywhere, wherever it fell open. I'm normally quite methodical when it comes to reading. I follow a pattern and allow God to speak to me that way. But this particular, I just opened the Bible, wherever it opened up, and said, Lord, you've got to speak to me. And as I began to read, I can't remember the exact scripture now, but it was a verse in Corinthians. I began to read this scripture, you know, and I immediately felt that the Spirit speaking inside to me, lifting me up, doing me good. And now we went, obviously I got up and I must have eaten and had something. You know, and we went to church the next day because we were pastors in the church, and everybody was thinking, how can you do a service? How can you preach? How can you be happy and joyful in church, singing the praises of God, when the day before your mother died? Well, we got it from the Word of God. We wouldn't have been able to do it, carry on with what we knew we had to do, without God speaking and showing us and directing us and leading us. You know, so even in the toughest times, when we go to the Word of God, we pray, ask God to speak, we listen to what He has to say. We do it by faith. Amen. I better shut up, otherwise I shall keep on all night.
The Lord is your strength.
Amen.